Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
What's good, guys? You're tuning to the Everyday Struggle podcast. Nadeska here with my guys DJ Academics and Wayno, starting the week off with one of the biggest album releases of the year. Lil Wayne finally dropped the Carter 5, projected to move close to 450,000 copies in week one alone. The fans certainly came out to support him. Here's what the guys had to say about the album.
Wayno, go ahead, bro.
What? Let me go ahead?
Yeah, go ahead. Why don't you go ahead first?
All right, I really enjoyed the project. Just for him to be on his 12th album. That's amazing. Like, he's made it to 12 albums in his career, and he's only 36 years old. You know, that's kind of insane. Are we going down the line yet? Or we
can't. I just wanted to know your very first impressions.
Yeah,
I liked it.
Okay. I liked it. I felt like it was exactly what I expected from Wayne.
Okay.
I didn't expect him to do no dissing nobody on this shit. I expected him to just stay in pocket and be who he is and give us what we love from him, and that's exactly what he did.
Yeah, so I think one of the things we talked about a lot was you guys were concerned, specifically you, Ak, I think, about it sounding too dated since there was so much time in between the release. How do you think it turned out? Like, even XXXTentacion, I fucking hate saying this kid's name. even XXX being featured on Don't Cry, what did you think?
Well, first of all, overall, the project, it's kind of what I expected. I mean, we sat here and we gave some prediction on what we thought it was going to be, but I was pleased. I was pleased. It lived up to what I thought it would be. It wasn't a letdown. Now, if we're talking me reviewing this as a critic, it's decent. It's decent.
So the fan in you says cool. The critic in you says decent.
Decent. Okay.
No.
It's decent means it's good, right? I was watching everyone rant and rave about this album, and the good thing I did listen to it when it just came out, and I kept listening to it, but I think a lot of people kind of like trapped in the moment with this.
Really? In a moment?
Yeah, people were acting like this was like the fucking...
It still is the moment, right? Can't already say we're... Okay, how about this? First of all, let's start with the standout songs that you thought were excellent, and then we'll go backwards from there.
All right.
Is that cool? We have a whole track list here.
So I would say my standout, I really like Dedicate. I really, really like Dark Side of the Moon. I really like Dark Side of the Moon with Nicki. Also, Mona Lisa. Even Dope Niggas. I really like Dope Niggas because they sample Explosive.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, from Dr. Dre's 2001, Chronic 2001 album. Also, there's another one, Open Letter. I like that one a lot. I like Famous. Let It All Work Out as well. And Dope New Gospel.
Did you guys like the production in general? And do you feel like the features fit? Sometimes we feel like the features overshadow the actual artist, or it just doesn't really make sense. Do you think it was put together well musically? And then we could get to lyrics.
I think he put everything together well. Like, start this shit off right. I really like how he used Ashanti on there. Because what I really liked about Start This Shit Off Right was it sounded like some old New Orleans shit. Like how they used to do on the Big Timers albums. Just the melodies that they used. And it was produced by Manny Fresh. Right? But I liked it all the way through. Like, no, I'm not calling it classic. It's not the great. I don't even know how to rate it enough, and it's only been since Friday.
Yeah, people already want to rank it.
Yeah,
with all the Carters. It's a little bit soon.
Yeah, I'm not ranking it, but overall, this is a good album. This is a really good album from Wayne. Because I wasn't a fan of, like, the last Dedications and all that. I didn't want him to be rapping, like, the last Dedications. I feel like the last Dedications he did, I can't remember what number he's on. But it felt like he was just doing it to get it out.
Yeah.
And I didn't want that from Wayne. But for me, I'm happy with this Wayne.
Okay.
Well, as far as being standout tracks, Dope Niggas and Uproar to me sound like some dedication slash, let me give the better side of it, No Ceilings type of shit. Mm. He took old beats, kind of flipped them, and kind of just kind of floated on him his way. So I kind of fuck with that. Even though it was what I said, like it kind of, the reason why you can't really trash this whole project is because, again, we're rooting for Wayne coming into it. It gives us that nostalgic feel without it being trash. You get me? Like, it's a feel-good, nostalgic feel. Those two songs, the Uproar joint, like, he killed it
on that. Yeah, because they sample Special Delivery.
Yeah,
all them shit.
Yeah. Of course, this nigga.
Yo, when I was playing that in the car this week, driving upstairs, as soon as it came on, I thought of Wayno.
Oh, I thought you were Harlem Shaking.
I could imagine Wayno Harlem shaking around.
Right? I hadn't listened to it yet, right? And somebody tweeted me, they was like, this is Wayno, listen to Uproar. And it was like a clip from the Special Delivery video of a kid like Harlem Shaking. I'm like, what the hell is he talking about? And then when I heard it, I was like, all right, because I didn't listen to the album till Saturday.
Okay.
Like, I didn't listen that night. I waited to Saturday and listened to it about, I listened to the whole album about like three and a half times. Overall, I really like it where Wayne is at in his life, even with what he's talking about. Well, the way he starts it with I Love the Wayne with his mom, you know, just talking about him, how he starts and how he closes it. It really, you could really get a sense of how much he wanted to implement his mom on this Carter. You know, how much we seen Sita in his life without putting her on a song and nothing like December 4th, but having that narrative. Like, I like that. But overall, I'm happy with this album. Like, I'm really happy with this shit.
Okay.
So other than those two tracks, right? And this is the feel I got, even with the intro, as you were saying. Like, the intro to me, where his mom was talking, his mom was thanking him for so much, I got from that, it was an album about his selflessness and probably many facets, even beyond music, right? We know that he's an artist who has put on a bunch of other artists, helped other artists, and it was pretty much everything coming back to him, all of the good things he's put out into music. Favorite joints, of course, I like the joint with him and X. Dedicate was dope. I like Uproar. Joint with Travis Scott, I could have passed on. Can't Be Broken was cool. I really love the song with him and Nicki. That reminded me of the kind of, I want to say, the weird, different singing, crooning Wayne, which I love too. I love when niggas sing, man.
I feel like dying.
Yeah, I love I actually wanted more songs like that. That Mona Lisa song with Kendrick, that's really dope. That song we heard like way back. Marsha Crelly actually previewed that song. Supposedly, he did have a song from he did have a song from Carter Five. Other songs that stood out to me. Not gonna lie, I wasn't even feeling that Snoop Dogg feature like that. Keep it chill.
Really?
I wasn't, bro.
Why not? I mean, not the feature, but the record. Like
the record was cool, but like I felt. When I saw it, that Snoop was on it, I thought he was going to come on in like...
Gangsta shit?
No, do a little bit more, yo. It felt like with mailed in verse, and I'm like, yo, this is Carter Fire, bro.
Well, I mean, I like the way, I like the way he used certain people. Like, Dark Side of the Moon, I felt like that's a record that he could have used Cudi on, only because he was saying Intergalactic. Like, he was saying a lot of Cudi shit.
A lot of Cudi references.
A lot of Cudi references on that record. But I felt like everybody was used in their place. Like, especially Mona Lisa. That's the best record on the whole album.
Logic also dropped his new album Young Sinatra 4 this past weekend, and while no one here ever questions his lyrical ability, opinions were definitely split on this one. Projected to sell between 90 and 110 copies. Did you guys have a chance to listen? What'd you think?
I was stuck on the intro for at least like 4 or 5 plays because the intro is just really good. But overall, like, it's good, but overall, it's like, it felt like a cry for help. I'm going to tell you why.
Are you about to start sounding like
this guy? No, I'm going to tell you why. Not a cry for help. It felt like a cry for acceptance.
Oh, no.
I'm going to keep it 100 because beats, great. Great beats, great raps. But a lot of the raps is, I'm so much better than these mumble dudes. Y'all are never last. Jay-Z and Nas and Drake and everybody gives me praise. These dudes aren't going to be here. I'm like, yo, dog, you don't have to keep. He said shit like that to that degree a few times over the album. I listened to the whole shit. I just felt like Logic don't have to do that. I mean, I feel like he doesn't have to do that. Now, I do like a lot of moments on this album. The Wu-Tang Forever shit, I ain't gonna lie, was too long of a song for me.
Okay.
It was too long of a song for me. 100 miles and running is probably my favorite joint on there. Only because when you have one of them type of break beats with Wale, you got to keep up with him. And Wale, I ain't gonna front, Wale is a phenomenal fucking rapper.
Plus, that's the Wale theme. It's dope that they collabed on. Like,
absolutely, absolutely. But I mean, overall, it's good. Mm-hmm. It's cool. But I felt like he just doing too much crying out on that shit.
So no sympathy for Logic. How come he can't complain? Everyone else can whine and cry. I don't feel like he needs sympathy.
It's like, my nigga, you did this big deal. You're doing all these amazing things. You're selling out all these tours, etc. And you keep saying all these different things. Like, remember what people give Russ flack for? Mm-hmm. Because they say, oh, he's always saying something in an interview about how he feels about what's going on in the game. That's how I felt about a lot of the songs. It's like a lot of the songs, it seemed like he's complaining in a sense without complaining.
But is it not better than complaining for him to vent in the music versus Russ just offending everyone in interviews?
No, but but it's like, okay, I got it the first time, my nigga. It's like, how many times can you make a reference about how people don't fuck with you? That was just my thing. It's like, there's no way people don't fuck with you. People fuck with you. You selling a lot of records. You sold out the Garden. You sell out all these arenas. People fuck with you, but I just felt like it was too much harboring on that.
Wayno, cut the shit, bro.
Oh, in one aspect.
Cut the shit, man. I can't believe I'm sitting here across from a nigga who be championing lyrics and lyricism, and I'm hearing any critique about this shit. If I'm not gonna lie, this shit wasn't that exciting if you're not into lyrics. But, because, to be honest, y'all don't know how I listen to this shit? So I'm on the stream, I'm listening to Wayne, I'm drinking, this shit's lit, and I turn this shit on, and bam! I get hit with a fucking lyrics punch. It was too much. I couldn't listen to it. So I had to listen to it the next day when I was sober, midday, of course, driving, windows down. You know what it is. Anyway.
Hurry up. Wayno's getting ready to slap the shit out of you.
Honestly, this was the best album that came out this weekend. And it was full of lyricism, but it was exactly what I said when I was predicting what it was going to be. Before this came out, I said, I was looking at the track list and I said, I could tell this nigga, he's good. Like, fuck all that, I'm black, I'm white shit. He's trying to show you that he could do it like anybody else that people respect, because he doesn't get that respect. And he literally came with it. Like, yeah, he's popping the shit. We listen to a lot of rappers that popping shit. Yeah, he still kind of has a little beta male.
Popping shit or complaining? It's a big difference between...
He's doing both!
Wait. It's a difference between... All right, rap is all shit talking. Rap is about... People gravitate to who talks the best shit or who talks the most shit. That's why rappers always fabricate their drug selling and their money and all of that, right?
Right.
Now, the best album that... This is better than Carter 5?
Yes!
You out of your fucking mind, yo.
So literally...
Hold on, wait.
This album is better than Carter 5?
Lyrically, of course.
Is your only critique that he's... complaining too much?
Production wise, it's a good album. Now, a lot of the songs, he got like his storytelling of what it is. I like the fact that he talked about some shit with his dad and all of that, and how his dad, like, just shit popping with his dad, because he's always had that at least one or two times in his album.
Wayno, he's rapping better than Wayne on this album. Am I lying? No, be honest. Are you, yes or no?
You disrespectful, my nigga. I'm gonna keep it a band. Like, you really disrespectful.
That's disrespectful to say.
It's not a better album than Carter 5. It's not.
No. Rapping better than Wayne?
Is he rapping better?
Yeah, that's.
How are you rating the raps? Like, how are you rating the raps? Are you rating the raps as how much shit he's saying, his flows and delivery? Or are you just saying he's rapping a lot versus Wayne rapping a lot? Like, how are you comparing it?
Both.
No, because you wanna know why? Because I would rather hear Mona Lisa. I would rather hear this record Mona Lisa more than half of this album. I would rather hear Wayne's record Mona Lisa more than half of this whole entire album.
So you,
and
just,
you wanna say
Here, here's the difference. I could acknowledge when somebody's rapping better. Like, usually the niggas who be rapping the most is not enjoyable. I'm not gonna lie to you. I enjoyed Wayne's album more than I enjoyed this. But it doesn't mean it was better. Like, if I'm judging shit from either a technical standpoint or I'm judging raps, my nigga is going off. He's snapping. Again, am I gonna be listening to this all the time? Fuck no. But
then how are you coming?
There's a huge difference between what you enjoy. I always use this classic example. I remember when.
Are you ever gonna listen to Young Sinatra again? Just answer me that real quick. Are you ever gonna listen to this shit again?
I might.
You might.
Hold on. Wait.
That's room for doubt.
All right, hold on.
Are we acting like replay value equals quality?
Oh, it doesn't? Replay value don't equal quality when it comes to music?
What was the Kendrick album before Damn? I thought that was the best.
So, okay, fine. To Pimp a Butterfly, we said not a good replay album. You don't enjoy listening to it.
And I thought it was the best album that year.
The content and the lyricism was good.
Give me a chance to answer my question, though.
Which?
Are you going to listen to this Wayne album again?
Probably.
So he, hold on. I understand what he's saying. So he will replay Carter 5, right? You're not going to replay Logic a lot, but you think just lyrically Logic was better on the album.
Yes.
Lyrically. All right. We're talking about the whole overall album. We're talking about, he's rapping better. Dog, this album is not better than Carter 5.
But you think it's disrespectful just because we're talking about a legend who just dropped a big album? I think he's saying that just to say it.
I swear to God, honestly, I think that. I think he's saying that just to say it. Yeah. I don't think, what did you, tell me, what on this makes it better than that? I'm dead serious. Because, I know Logic got a whole fan base and all that, and I respect Logic as a rapper and all that shit, but this is not better than Carter 5. It's not. Because like I said, one song off of here is trumping a lot of this shit on here. One song. Because a lot of these beats on here talk about dated, right? We was talking about dated and all of that shit. I was born in 1982. A lot of these beats sound like shit I heard when I was 10 years old.
The Logic beats.
Yeah, a lot of the Logic beats sound like shit from 92, 93. And that's cool. I understand.
It's some backpack shit. I get it, bro.
That's cool. I understand there's a lane for that shit, but I lived through that time already. I don't really want to hear that in 2018 for my own self. I'm not listening to this shit more than I'm listening to that. I don't know if I'm gonna keep listening to this. I'm gonna listen to that again.
Yeah, nah.
And you said this is the better album. Yeah, I think you're bugging with that.
It's the better album, but it's not the most enjoyable album. Again, put it like this. It would be the exact definition of comparing a nigga like Kendrick and Drake. Drake always make the shit I'm gonna listen to most. Doesn't mean he's making the best shit. if we're going with the shit that is more enjoyable.
Let's talk about Logic and Little
no,
Wayne.
No, no,
not,
no,
not
no.
Drake and Kendrick.
No, hold on, no. But you're using these these categories or these little phrases like, hey, you enjoy this more. Yeah, I could enjoy Wayne's project more because it's more upbeat and shit. It's more like it's cool songs.
All the songs,
but if I'm judging rapping.
Yeah, rapping.
All right, so you guys agree. You disagree here. Sorry, we can keep going, but it's okay. I understand what he's saying. It's okay to think one album is better content-wise, but enjoy another one replay-wise.
Yeah.
Why don't you guys listen a little bit more? We should also toss this to the fans. What do you guys think? Although we're not even really... It's weird to even compare these projects, but I get it. Then there's Kanye, who promised us an album called Yandy, which never arrived. After giving another pro-Trump speech at SNL wearing his MAGA hat, he announced that he would be finishing the album in Africa. In the meantime, he wants to focus his energy on bringing Colin Kaepernick to the White House to clear the air with Trump. And since we had T.I. on set, we had to ask his opinion on this one.
I don't really know what the outcome of Kaepernick going to the White House would be. I don't know. You know, say if you're saying... he said he want to get rid of the SOB, the sons of bitches statement. But let's get into the true source of why the sons of bitches statement even became a reality in the first place. The lack of respect, you know what I'm saying? The disregard of our people by Agent Orange, you know what I'm saying?
right.
You get down to that, you know what I mean? Let's just see. I don't think it costs us nothing to just sit back and watch.
Yeah.
Don't jump to conclusions so soon. That's form an opinion.
Yeah. That's how I felt about the whole Chicago thing. Because remember we was talking about, I was like, you know, we at least got to give him a moment. Yeah. But it's like, I feel like so many times, every time we take a moment, it's always something said to make you say, oh, he's not going to do that. Only because of like the action after the initial thing he says he wants to do.
Yeah,
I think we also got to maintain our expectations.
Right.
We got to manage our expectations some, man. We can't...
How low can our expectations be at this point?
I mean, what were you expecting in the first place? I mean, Kanye's always been Kanye.
I'm wondering how those conversations, you reach out to him, privately. How does that go? Because, you know, when
just
he...
like that. Just
really?
How it go with Harvey?
Because when he had an interview on a Chicago radio station, he was basically saying that certain things wouldn't have came out of his mouth if he had the right people around him to kind of check him. Yeah, so I'm if people are reaching out.
We would have pulled him out the room.
Yeah.
Nah, hold up, man. Y'all should cut that shit out, man. Let's go, man.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? That's what a friend gonna do. Even when you jump in, you gotta stop all recordings and tapings and everything. Wait a minute. No, this can't go.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? But the thing I think about Ye, man, is, and I spoke to him the day before you know, the whole Saturday night, like on Friday, I spoke to him. And we were just, you know, having a homeboy conversation.
Did
about
he tell you he was going to do that?
No. Every time he talked to me about that dumb ass hat, I always tell him, man, put that down. That hat is some bullshit, bro.
He called it a Superman cape.
Yeah, see, that he it's because it's red. You know what I'm saying? Like that's how Kanye is, bro. He finds things that make sense and that relates to him in his mind. And if you call Ye right now, before he pick up the phone, he already got in his head the conversation he gonna have with you, regardless of what you gonna say. Has nothing to do with what you gonna say when you say, man, yeah, I'm gonna talk to him about this, 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 and this. And even if you bring up something completely non-related, has nothing to do with it, he's still gonna have that same conversation with you.
Jeez. Well, you know what? Some people like, and they say it about athletes, but like, I think you're like the perfect person to ask this question to. Like some people are like, yo, yeah, you should just stick to music. Just like they say athletes should just stick to sports. You're someone who, like, yeah, music is what gave you a platform, but you've used it in many different ways. Do you feel like at this point, yeah, you should probably just stick, because it might be a little bit destructive, the way how he's going about it.
I mean, even if it is, man, it's his sacrifice. Because what I've noticed that he has done every single time, even to his own dismay, is he has forced people to address topics and have discussions that we've been needing to have in society for decades. You see what I'm saying? Even if we all agree that, yeah, yeah, on some bullshit, but we still discussing the 13th Amendment and how it should be amended.
I feel that same exact way.
And we were discussing 400 years of us potentially keeping ourselves enslaved. The slavery was a choice thing, wasn't saying that we volunteered to be slaves. It was saying 400 years of slavery was a choice. You understand what I'm saying? We've been free since, what, 1868, something like that, 1865, something like that. Okay, so from 1865 up until now, that time, we've still been choosing to allow ourselves to be mentally enslaved, is what he was trying to say. You know what I'm saying? It came out horrible, but those topics we're now being forced to address because, you know, everybody around the water cooler talking about how big of an idiot Kanye is. Because
Sometimes it feels like he's projecting. Like, I understand your point, but sometimes it feels like it's what he's actually going through, like his battle with the fashion industry or whatever it is. And sure, then he's projecting it into this bigger, reckless conversation.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
All of that is accurate.
I just thought, well, I was under the impression that ever since he moved back to Chicago, as he said, and even now he says he's going to Africa, that he was going to have a different perspective, because some of the perspective he was giving us was someone who forgot where he came from, or he wasn't around people who looked like him that may be going through issues that, you know, he's filthy rich and lives a different lifestyle like he might not be going through. So I thought that would be fixed. Didn't you think the same?
Man, my brother just needs some soul food, some homeboy.
Soulful.
And some information.
Hey, if he goes to Africa, I feel like you should probably go with him. Maybe you should chaperone that trip. I don't know if you should leave him unsupervised.
We have intriguing discussions. We challenge each other's opinions, and you know what I'm saying? The things that he say, I actually force him to understand, you know, the true ramifications of all of it, and give him a more broadened perspective, and he does the same for me. So you know what I'm saying? Every time we have a chance to speak, we just don't get a chance to speak consistently.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? Because, you know, he moving, I'm moving. But
all right, Kanye, we'll be patient, like Tip says, and see what happens.
I think we owe him that. You know?
Wait, do you think that 2020 thing is real?
What 2020?
Like, he says he's going to run for...
Well, he say 2024, but I mean, man, listen, man. Well, again, it cost me nothing to sit back and watch. It cost me nothing.
I feel like there are a couple of...
I think he dead serious, though. He want to be the president. I think that's why he liked Donald Trump so much. Because he feel like Donald Trump came from nowhere. Nobody thought he could be the president. Everybody said because he didn't have political experience. Everybody said because he wasn't in the political field that he couldn't do it. And he did it against the odds and da-da-da-da. Like, that's what it is. It got nothing to do with race, or it got nothing to do with his stance.
Yep.
Like, against all of that other stuff. That's what it is that he really liked about it.
Which is funny, even though Trump is not doing a great job as president, that's clearly besides the point for him.
That's the thing.
Right?
Because I always ask him, I say, man, what you going to do, man, when
once you're in the White House.
Nah, not even once you in the White House. When he get carried out the White House. Like, you know what I'm saying? If this shit blow up in their face, what you going to do then?
I mean, one time.
And he was stuck. He just like.
Would you look into politics? Because I'm not, like, you seem like a leader. Like more, like, of course, you come from a hip-hop background, but the way how you use your platform to shine light on other issues that affects the community outside of music, like, that might be a nice transition.
I'm not interested, not in politics, not in, like, the conventional, traditional thought of politics. I'd rather use my influence to kind of back and support someone who I know is best positioned for the job. Like, it's somebody right now who's thinking about, you know, how to pass bills and how to lobby for laws to you know what I mean? Like, that's not me. Mm-hmm. I'm in the for-profit business.
TBD on when we'll actually get that Ye album, but in the meantime, we'll have a new project from Lil Baby and Gunna to keep us busy. Drip Harder is out this Friday, and this one is definitely on the most anticipated list for academics. It feels like they can't miss right now. Are you guys excited for this project? What are your expectations? And how could this change your trajectory?
Since Scorpion dropped already, and with the exception of me waiting for Uzi, yes, I gotta keep it. Come on, man. Come on, time it is. with the exception of me waiting for Uzi's Eternal Take, which sounds like some devilish shit, but still, I'm waiting for it. This is probably one of my most anticipated projects of the year. I was about to engage, and I tried not to engage in back and forth like in Instagram comments, but it was someone who said, hey, how could you have critiques about, I think it was M.
Mm-hmm.
M's album, and then you're anticipating like Lil Baby and Gunna.
That would
which,
be
by the way,
apples
I just want to say, and I'm going to put it out there, I know they might make the music where you might consider that isn't that lyrical miracle shit. That nigga Lil Baby rapping his fucking ass off right now.
Yeah,
he's
he
in
is.
A pocket.
Yeah, he
well,
is.
He got three contenders of verse of the year. And at me, I'll debate y'all on that.
Well, now, we had this conversation about Lil Baby and Gunna, about both of them be like co-rookie of the years and all of that. For me, I'm not really anticipating a project from both of them together, only because I feel like shit like that could be too soon. Only reason why is because I feel like I'm really getting to know each one of them for what they've done this year. Now, I know you got to strike while the iron's hot and all of that, but for me, if it's good, it's good. But I wasn't the one like, yo, I can't wait till Lil Baby and Gunna do something together. Like, I like them individually, and I want to keep getting more individual shit, and they could get to that later, but it's coming now anyway.
Do you like Drip Too Hard?
Drip Too
the
Hard.
The most recent one. That's what's called, right?
Record. Yeah, I mean, it's a good record, but I'm still, Baby is, I like Gunna more than I like Baby, but Baby's way past Gunna.
Yo, he can rap. That's a crazy thing.
Gunna,
so people can listen.
Too.
I mean,
no, Gunna's the most underrated of the year for me.
Underrated of the year?
What?
I mean, of his class, do you mean? Because I don't think he's underrated. I don't think he's underrated at all.
I think he's super underrated because I think all the attention and all the praise that we're giving to Baby, a lot of times we're forgetting Gunna. Like, most of the songs that, with the exception of, like, a few, like, of course, the freestyle and a couple others, for a little Baby, like, they're joint songs. Whereas Baby, Gunna, maybe somebody else. You have Thug, or maybe it's, like, Uzi or somebody like that. But they've been pretty much like Batman and Robin, and either or it's Batman. Like, you'll see one giving a hook this time, the other giving a hook, and it works both ways in creating a hit. By the way, I'm gonna just say this now. Yo, Drake, I see you trying to make this a trio, man. Fall the fuck back. I like both.
Yo,
of
he got in there early. You know he's strategic.
That's
your guy.
He got another song in
the
fucking tank.
That's your guy, of course.
Yo, I respect that opinion, but I gotta disagree. I think they gotta drop it now. Like, we've seen people miss the mark, and like, imagine if we didn't get that Rich Gang the tour first project, and both of them kept going their separate ways, but collabs. Sometimes they could have missed that whole time when they were really making that hot music. I don't know how long Lil Baby will not miss. Like, he hasn't missed yet. I don't know how long, because that's a special period.
He's hot. I mean,
That's a special period in every artist's career where you feel they can't miss. I remember when I thought Chief Keef could have missed.
Would you compare their run right now at all to, like, Young Thug and, like, Rich Homie? Like, at their hottest, are they hotter than Young Thug and Rich Homie were?
Not individually, because I don't think either is as hot as Young Thug was.
But together.
Well, on the net, like, I'll say on the net, like, they have shit. They touching a lot of different demos, right? Like, because honestly, people could call them, if you call them mumble rappers, you're not really.
But they're not mumbling because you can hear them. That's the crazy thing.
The point I was going to make is, like, certain people might try to box them in, but they are really talking about a lot of street shit. That's what I like about Baby. Now, Gunna just raps about being fly all day. I love the like, for real, and I'm not comparing them, because I know, like, I feel like how Mace used to rap about getting fly. Like, he has his down south version of that with himself, how Gunna presents it. I could listen to him talk about all types of shit I can't afford all day. I just like the way he does it. But I understand what you're getting at as well, but I gotta disagree in the fact that I feel like it's just very, very early.
Yeah.
And we haven't gotten, for me, myself, Gunna's dropped a few tapes. Baby's dropped. How many tapes did Baby drop? One?
Well,
I only know the one that he's had this year.
We'll call it an album.
The album, yeah. I only know this album that he's had, and I got on the Gunna bandwagon late with Drip or Die 3. Drip or Drown. Is it Drip or Drown?
I can't remember the name.
Drip or Drown 3, right? Yeah. I feel like he's underrated in the sense of, like, having one of the best projects. Like, he's definitely a sleeper, and I feel like Baby is ways away from him on commercial success, because he got records on radio and shit. I don't really hear Gunna as much, but I feel like it's still a little bit too soon.
Yeah, but I mean, the only record on radio he really has is the one with Drake.
Yeah, but I mean, they playing other little shit too. Like, they're throwing in stuff after.
Yeah, because,
in the mix show, on the mix show side.
Well, these are the four essential ones if you want to get introduced to Gunna and Baby. You got to get to OOK, Sold Out Dates, Life Goes On, of course, Drip Too Hard. You get all four of those, and you tell me that this guy, Baby not in his bag, and Gunna is no slouch either. It's not like one guy carrying the other, like, low-key on Drip Too Hard. My man Gunna is flaming on him.
Yo, they're amazing on it. They just float on that shit. Like, I'm surprisingly excited for this project.
Again, I'm going to reiterate, it's such a special time when you see an artist just hitting on every cylinder. Mm. I could also see that the game recognizes it, because I see everyone trying to get next to them. Everyone's trying to get on track with them.
I mean,
and that's what heat does. However, it doesn't last forever. So I'm saying, as a fan, give me all you can give me now, because if you end up being washed a year from now,
that's what I'm saying. I don't want it. Like, let's not even talk about the being washed.
Yeah, don't even put
that out. Why not being washed?
Very early.
Like, eventually we're gonna get tired of the sound. We're gonna get tired of that combo. We're gonna get tired if they don't progress.
Okay.
Enough.
Okay.
So I'm saying, while we're not, let's enjoy it and give us as much as you can.
Right.
Then we'll see how they evolve as an artist, because it happens for every artist, right, and that shows if you're built for the game.
Right, right, right.
So we'll see.
Now let's close out the episode with a great fan question that didn't make it to YouTube this week. So one of our fans wants to know why the best artists from the UK cannot seem to find commercial success in the US. He says, "My favorite MC is Black Thought, but I'm able to listen to UK rap and grime effortlessly, but Americans who seem to love British accents are quick to blame the accents when it comes to understanding the music." Mm. He wants to know if we're too lazy to understand the culture, try to learn the slang, or is it something else?
It's cool to talk and kind of imitate British accents. It sounds nice. Sounds cute. Sounds nice. But there's a couple of things, and I'm going to be very blunt. Americans, it's not me particularly, because I love UK and, like, even Toronto or any slang, because I came from Jamaica. But when people hear UK slang, or not slang, but UK and UK accent, they'd be like, yeah, this sounds soft. Like, they can't believe that person's rapping about tough shit. I'm being honest with you. That's the knock that they get. Beyond that, the way I think this could work, which I guess is requiring way too much of the artist, it's like Idris Elba. Like, I thought he was from the U.S. I'm sorry.
He's American?
We're spoiled. The U.S. is spoiled. We adjust to nothing. Everything adjusts to us. Let's keep it 100.
That's true.
Right?
Absolutely.
And we could just sit in denial and everything, because it feels like most artists want to get accepted in this market, while I don't know why they just accept. We probably sound weird to them. I don't know why they accept us, but they're accepting, right? We don't accept not a motherfucking thing.
Well, to emphasize on your point, Americans are lazy. Now, we're not speaking specifically for us individually, but Americans are lazy. And when it comes to, like, we have so many artists here, I don't know how a lot of the UK artists could break into this scene over here. It's hard for artists here.
Yeah, look, America is one of the biggest cultural exporters, if not the biggest in the world. Right. Whenever you're in Europe, you're overseas, even if they don't speak English primarily, they can still rap to all these songs. All the artists are coming through. So in one way, it's understandable why it's like that.
And you know what? I think it's a bit unfair because, you know, I know a lot of them, they want to put themselves in that competitive seat because they probably have a lot of good music. But it might just take a little bit to make sense over on this side. You know, it took rap a long time to make it the mainstream. Mm-hmm. You know, it took a long time. So I think if they keep working, and of course you got like the ASAP Rockies who collaborate with them, Drake collaborates with UK artists and stuff. I don't think that's enough, but it's a start.
Right.
You know,
it certainly opens them up, right?
I feel like
Skepta is probably, people know him by name at this point in the States. There are a couple of them, right?
Skepta got his own Air Max.
And by the way, I did say, and I still stand by it, the majority of UK artists I've heard, and of course, there's probably a way broad spectrum that I haven't heard, but most of them, they take lyricism very important, right? Like, they make it a staple of what they're doing, as opposed to like music in the US is a wide spectrum. Some people do, some people don't give a fuck.
Right.
You get me? I feel like they put a higher emphasis on that. So I made a statement to say, I feel like rappers in the UK, they are concerned with lyrics way more than people in the US.
Right.
And of course, that would get a lot of respect, but I do think the accents really is a big thing. Now, let's think about, and this is the biggest rapper in the world, Drake. Mm-hmm. All these tings and mans dems and all the type of slang he got now, you get me? He hit all of this when he was acting like he was from Memphis, Houston, Atlanta, Vegas. Let's keep it 100, right? It's now after he dropped 5 albums, he's ready, like, oh, remember he dropped with Views, he was like, I'm finally gonna bring people to Toronto where I'm from.
Yeah.
I'm gonna bring you out of Western Roads. Like, come on, bro. Well, you should have been doing this. But you know what? He wouldn't have broke into the scene if he was talking them tings and mans them back then. After you get the people, you bring them into your culture. Right. I thought that's dope. And I'm so sorry that the U.S. is sport because, listen, I'm a ethnic cultural type of guy. I come from a different country. I would love if they could get into other shit. But you understand what it is, man. This is a land of motherfucking ratchets.
But I think, you know what? I think the biggest frustration that comes from over there is because when we go over there, they give us so much support.
Yeah.
Even like Designer, even if he was trolling about the 250K, I know that he gets more overseas over there than he probably does over here. And that's because over on that side, like, out of the country, they just appreciate hip-hop culture a lot more than people here. And I'm talking about in the traditional sense, right?
Have you asked? Look at the reception at Wireless compared to Coachella.
Or any
U.S. festival. Man, I was posting a bunch of those, like, performances on my page, and everyone kept saying, do these motherfuckers go crazy for everybody? Like, Bad Baby came out and said, Smoker, like, yo, do you know the songs by these?
Yeah,
it felt like
they
were going
Tyler
crazy.
Did, what was it, Splash Festival in Germany? I was watching it when I was out there. They knew every single word song.
But you know what the thing about it, too, is it's like when they, because it's inaccessible to them as far as like a face value standpoint.
Right.
So when they finally get there, it's a bigger thing. Like, you could be in LA and be on Melrose and maybe running a Tyler Creator or Bad Baby shopping or something. Over there, they live in a whole different time zone. Their life and their culture is totally different. So I think, like, that's what for the artist, that's where the frustration sets in, because they're like, damn, we show y'all so much love. Why is it not reciprocated? But I think that also goes into some of the artists maybe spending some more time over here, because I don't see as many artists from over there come over here and be like, yo, this motherfucker's up in Dykeman, or he's over here. Like, if they want to make a mark over here, they just got to jump a little bit. Spend like 3 to 6 months over here and get acclimated to what's going on, run the circus, and then they might be a little bit more accepting.
Hey, it's hard to balance everything though, right?
Right.
Because you could become ASAP Rocky where you go overseas and you kind of lose that touch with, of course,
over here,
home, right? But for artists, look at the artists who are kind of succeeding or have this huge international market.
Mm-hmm.
I'll give you two. Number one, Russ. Russ does great overseas.
Post Malone.
And him
yeah,
too.
Yeah.
And they have developed a touring base over there.
Right.
Also, in terms of young rap, and of course, these legal circumstances definitely playing a part into it, 6ix9ine.
Right.
6ix9ine, before even his song popped off in the United States, mm-hmm. Gummo, he was touring.
Yeah, I seen that.
He was touring
overseas. Right.
Overseas. Mm-hmm. So now when he goes back, it's ridiculous.
Right.
And usually what we see with like artists like Lil Baby, Lil Baby's not going to really, he probably does a couple shows overseas, but he's not going to really focus on that market
mm-hmm.
until he's already established in the U.S. And it's like, it's so easy. It's a crossover effect, right?
Right?
But if he, which I don't know if he could afford like a month or two to go to another country or in Europe and really tour. But if you establish that base, Europe is so supportive.
Absolutely. So my question is like, do any of those guys, like all these festivals, because I always see like our artists from over here go over there, do they get that same reception in their homes? Like, dude, like, because I've
like
never
UK
seen.
Like, UK rappers locally,
yeah, like, UK,
you mean?
When they're over in their home doing, because I'm pretty sure that, you know, they fly out all these dudes to do, like, their festivals, but I'm pretty sure gigs and all of them, they are built.
They're legends
on
there, yeah. They definitely get hometown love because they're homegrown.
But
it is.
Right.
I get what you mean. It is just like, what I get to realize, mm-hmm. not only are Americans, and let's not, I'm proud American now. but not only are we fucking spoiled and everything else and lazy, fuck. Like, when we see a nigga, like, we too cool to cheer. man, do your thing on stage and we not, yo.
And we don't treat our, so I remember Wale talking about this way back in the day. He maybe even rapped about it, like, when he was like very experimental. He would rap over like Mark Ronson beats. He was doing all of that.
Mm-hmm.
He was saying he was getting way more love overseas. So he would just go out there and collect all the bags and then come back here and try to get some love like in his hometown. So it's like, it's a double-edged sword.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I'll tell you, man, go to, and it might be different genres because it's not just all rap. Go say in the Caribbean and go to like a dancehall or a soca show.
Mm-hmm.
The crowds are rabid.
Right.
It's not just a bunch of, like, yeah, people got their phones because they got updated on technology, but, like, they're so engaged, like, it's wild.
Yeah.
Right? Like, you go to Europe, like, they're fucking, like, they're going in.
Yo.
And you're over here, and it's like, you performing, and niggas is, like, too cool. Or
they're just filming the whole shit, and they're never going to watch it again.
This is another point I wanted to make about this, too. A lot of dudes over there that's felons can't bring their ass over here. Because this was a conversation I had with one of my homies from Toronto. Because I'm like, damn, Toronto, what's in the water? Like, there's so many dope artists. I asked my man, like, yo, is there any dudes up there? He like, yeah, but none of them could come to the U.S. because they all felons. Mm-hmm. So it's like, I think that's
I thought it was the other way around that.
No, I mean, it's the same way. It's like, you know, if you're a felon in America, you can't, like, Toronto's really strict with that. If you got a DUI, even, you can't go into Toronto.
You got to call Drake.
You got to call Drake or you got to call Weekend or somebody. But the thing is like, over there, like, that's what I'm saying. Like, over there, a lot of them might not break because, yeah, we might see it online, but we don't get the FaceTime with you.
Yeah.
You know, and for me, I'm down to go over there and spend a week and see what's going on. But if I wanted to sign an artist over there and I can't bring you over here, then what is the business? Yeah. Like, what can we really do?
Yeah, it's definitely, and what I've seen as artists growing their careers, because it's going to come a point, the U.S. rocks with the hot shit for the moment.
Right.
And of course, as you grow and if you have a catalog, you can still tour if you're a legend and shit like that. But a lot of times, you know where Soulja Boy picking up the big bags right now? Dubai.
Word.
Mm. You know, like, they love him over there. You know what?
Before Tiger had his resurgence, my fault to cut you off, but before Tiger had his resurgence, he was over in Dubai getting, like, Tiger ain't never missed a moment. Like, you know what I mean? Like, people joke about him and his cars being repossessed and all that other stuff, but you ain't never seen Tiger go to jail for no money problems. You ain't never seen Tiger with no money problems.
We gotta do the Everyday Struggle retirement tour through Europe 10 years from now.
Well, it's important to go over there and build those relationships, and you know, it's not only just being there. Like, they got artists out there too. You wanna make those relationships. Like, Drake did it.
Mm-hmm. Drake did it. Quavo's doing it.
Right.
I got like five songs with them niggas out there, man.
It's dope. But like, look, it's obviously gonna keep changing. So maybe it comes down to the accents just a little bit. But there's more at play. Let's see what happens in the next 5 years.
100%. Next 5 years, I'm calling it. It's gonna be a rap superstar from the UK that could turn it on and off.
I nominate Stefflon Don.
Stefflon, yo, if it's gonna be anybody.
The crossover appeal, she has it.
Yeah.
She has it. She's already signed with QC Management. Like,
yeah.
She already had a great hit with French.
Yeah, man.
Just a couple more joints. She's gonna be good.
That motherfucking Coach K and P, man. They up to something over there with that. They definitely up to something.
That's it for us, guys. But we'll catch you here next Friday on the Everyday Struggle podcast.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.